The Lead Story is proudly brought to you by Alex Forbes. Alex Forbes, insight, advice, impact.
My name is Michelle, and again, I've got the privilege to speak to Lo Nel, Senior Political Analyst at Oxford Economics in Cape Town. Thank you, Lo, for speaking to me again. And things are quite, I'm not sure, more certain or less certain. Where are we in the process?
Well, I guess it depends on how you see things. It's becoming more certain in a sense that the ANC last week gave us the clearest indication yet of what they're going to do with their particular dilemma. They are, as we discussed last time, they're well short of a majority, and so therefore they have to go searching for coalition partners. What we learned last week on Thursday was that the ANC-NEC had met and had resolved to form a government of national unity. Now, there's a bit of a misnomer in the sense that South Africa's had a government of national unity before. They had one in 1994. But of course, back then, the ANC had a big majority. They were 60%. So that was an effort to invite in other parties and involve some of the larger parties, the National Party, the IFP. This time around, what the ANC is trying to do, almost by sleight of hand, is say that they're going to establish a government of national unity. They're inviting everyone into the fold. They say everyone is invited to the party, but knowing full well that the DA will not sit around the table with the EFF, and knowing the EFF will not sit around the table with the DA, and seemingly no one will sit around the table with Nkonto Sizwe.
So
the invitation's been extended, but in essence, what the ANC is trying to do really is they're trying to cobble together a coalition, and they're trying to get parties to uninvite themselves. And then in essence, the coalition that's going to emerge is like a coalition of the willing, so to speak, the guys who are willing to talk. The EFF's posture at the moment is really one of they're not interested in coming into the GNU. And so they're kind of disqualifying themselves. The same with Nkonto Sizwe.
So is that is quite a clever move.
It's a clever strategy. It might work out because there are plenty of individuals within the ANC who are vehemently opposed to the ANC going into a coalition with the Democratic Alliance. Yeah. There are both younger members of the ANC who have made a lot of noise within the party, we're told, but then also some senior members have come out, and Lindiwe Sisulu, of course, she's very much on the outside these days, but she does have that famous last name. She's come out and she's spoken against it. Zweli Mkhize, who is seemingly back in favor, he's going back to parliament this time around. He came out and he penned an op-ed explaining all the reasons why the ANC shouldn't go into a coalition with the Liberals. But it seems to me, at the very least, that President Ramaphosa and his inner circle are open to the possibility for no other reason than it solves a lot of problems. Going into a coalition with the DA and the IFP solves a national problem, it solves a Gauteng problem, and it could potentially also solve a KwaZulu-Natal problem.
Yeah. Tell us quickly, last week, Thursday, we touched on the deadline issue. So when exactly is the deadline? And we do understand that this Friday already some announcements will be made.
That's right. According to the Constitution, the first sitting of Parliament needs to take place within 14 days of the results being announced. So that means this Sunday. And the Chief Justice has announced it yesterday that the first sitting of Parliament will take place on Friday morning. And so by hook and by crook, I feel we'll have the Speaker and a President in all likelihood on Friday. Having said that, Nkonto Sizwe has run to court. They're trying to get an interdict to prevent the sitting from going ahead. Their argument is that according to the Constitution, and this is true, the Constitution says the National Assembly can only be constituted with a minimum of 350 men or women. And since they have 58 seats and they've made it clear they're not coming on Friday, they're arguing that Parliament cannot be constituted. That argument has been rejected by scholars and by the legal team at Parliament itself. They've said that that's not how they read the Constitution. The sitting should go ahead, but they've run to the Constitutional Court. They're trying to interdict. They're trying to postpone the sitting.
And how long will such a decision take to be known?
Well, it's an urgent application. So first things first with these things is firstly the court needs to decide if it's an urgent application, whether or not they'll even hear it, whether or not the Constitutional Court will grant them direct access. It's actually quite unusual for the Constitutional Court to grant direct access. But because this is a constitutional question, And because the Chief Justice is, after all, going to be sitting in that chair on Friday, it's possible that they will, in fact, hear and will have to make a decision before then.
Yeah. So in terms of indications from the investment partners and trading partners, just to touch a little bit on that side, any further sort of indications of what they are saying? What are they expecting? I think it's pretty clear that, at least from what I hear, is that they say any coalition with the DA will be seen as sort of business friendly. Will that be a fair assumption?
Yes, I'm sure that CEOs are all on their phones phoning both President Ramaphosa, but also John Steenhuisen and the leader of the IFP, Velen Kosini-Tlabisa, trying to twist their arm, trying to convince them that this is the best option on the table, the one they definitely have to pursue. It's hard to know what's happening behind closed doors. And that's ultimately, that's the flaw in this system, is that none of these negotiations are taking place in the open. And so it's all happening very quickly. It's all happening in secret. The only thing we know is who's in the negotiating party, and that's about it. Other than that, we rely on leaks and speculation and everything else. And so there might be a little bit of tension on Friday morning when a vote for speaker is announced, because that will give us a clear indication of which way it's leaning. We had that in 2021, the local government elections, when there were all kinds of machinations taking place behind the scenes in hung municipalities in Joburg and Pretoria and what have you. And then that first sitting, when the speaker was announced, then we had an idea of which way I was leaning. But until that point in time, it was just speculation. Couldn't say for sure. And this time around, it's going to be a little bit like that. And it's unusual for South Africa, because generally speaking, we know exactly which way it's going. This time, there's quite a bit of intrigue.
Exactly. And that's exactly what the markets are also not liking. Tell me quickly, so on Friday, it's sort of fairly certain then that us and the world will know what the coalition agreement sort of will be. What about the provincial coalitions? Are there any further indications there?
Those, the provincial assemblies will be constituted later. But I think that if we see on Friday, and I think at the moment the market is anticipating a successful coming together between the ANC, DA, IFP. If that happens on a national level, then it really has every expectation and will also be replicated in Gauteng. And in KwaZulu-Natal, it's interesting. It's an 80-seat assembly. The ANC, IFP, DA there has got exactly 40 seats. So they need one of either the NFP or the EFF. They have one and two seats on that council to join forces with them. And the NFP is being very coy. They're being very very secretive about which way they're leaning. But if they can flip the NFP, then they can do it in KZN as well. But, I mean, the same is true if we go the other direction, of course. Then they'll have enough seats to constitute the same government in Gauteng and KZN.
Just refresh my memory. NFP, who are they?
They're a splinter group. They broke away from the IFP several years ago. When the IFP was kind of at its weakest ebb. So the NFP broke away. They had a pretty good debut, but since then they've really become, I wouldn't say irrelevant, but they're a very small player in KZN at the moment. But they did get that one seat, and that one seat has made them kingmakers.
Exactly. Lau, what I wanted to know is I mean, this is not obviously speculation also, but if a coalition with the DA, et cetera, will be announced, what can South Africans expect after, I mean, Zuma has threatened violence before?
Yeah.
What are sort of your views on what we will see happening on the ground?
Well, gosh, that's a difficult question to answer. What we are seeing at the moment is that there's a massive both military and police deployment KZN. So clearly the authorities are alive to the threat of violence in response to it. We said before that it's very difficult to imagine at the end of all of this for the MK to basically walk away with nothing. Because if that coalition does come together, they come away with nothing.
Yeah.
And they did get 2.3 million votes. And if they then choose to boycott parliament, then we really are going into, again, uncharted territory, but also quite dangerous territory, because you don't want 2.3 million people to feel like they're being disenfranchised.
Yeah.
And it'll play out in KZN ultimately.
Yeah, there are also views. Some of the podcasts that I've listened to indicated that that 2.3 million voters are not necessarily sort of pro-Zuma, but more feels, especially in KZN, sort of disillusioned and further away from the ANC. The question is what happens to NK if Zuma is not there anymore?
Yeah, that's
an excellent... He's not a young man.
Yes, exactly. He's not a young man at all. He's in his 80s. And I think that maybe part of the thinking with a lot of these parties are at the moment that there are already divisions within MK. Other than Mr. Zuma, your next most famous people in the party are people like Nathi Nhleko and former SARS commissioner Tom Moyane. These guys have got very dubious reputations. They were effectively their ANC castles. And so if anything were to happen to Mr. Zuma, there really isn't a ready-made deputy. There isn't really anyone with that kind of profile or personality to take the party forward. And perhaps what the ANC is banking on, because it is, after all, it is a splinter. They're probably banking on trying to go the same way that they went with Cope. So Cope in 2009, I think, they had a pretty good debut. Yeah. But then their leadership squabble started almost immediately. Shilowa and Lekota started fighting each other over the leadership, and that squabbling just never really stopped. And after a while, Cope just kind of fell apart because they couldn't get it together. And again, they were a young party. They were constituted in a bit of a rush. They made a splash, but they didn't really have the infrastructure, so to speak. And maybe the ANC is counting on the same thing here.
Yeah. Interesting times, but very uncertain also. Lo, thank you very much for talking to me again. I really appreciate it. And hopefully we can do it a third time next week somewhere once we know what the results are.
Well, that's the thing is once we have a speaker and a president, then the next question becomes, what does the government itself look like? And the president, of course, has the right to name his government.
His cabinet, yeah, exactly. Thank you very much, Lo. Really appreciate it and all the best.
Thank you very much.
The lead story was proudly brought to you by Alex Forbes. Alex Forbes, insight, advice, impact.